welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back. I am so excited to have you here today because we're talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. And it's also a topic that you probably see a lot of if you are in the business space, but I mean, really, I see a lot of chatter about abundance kind of all over the place. And what we're going to be talking about today is how to practice abundance when life feels scarce. And I'm going to offer kind of a different perspective on abundance than you may hear from a lot of entrepreneurs and thought leaders out there. And today's going to go a bit longer because this is actually going to be more like a mini training. And the reason I want to talk about this today is because I see a lot of talk about abundance mindset in business and in life. And some people talk about this as money mindset. I actually think that abundance is much more than just money, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, though of course it is foundational to being able to attract money into your life, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Money is something that we all need to thrive in this material world, on this material plane. But the challenge that I myself have come up against, and I know many of you have also experienced, is that when you listen to folks that are talking about abundance, particularly successful business owners, and I'm making little quotation marks with my fingers right now because I find very often that even if somebody seems successful in the public persona they present to the world, often they feel scarce in other ways and things may not be working behind the scenes. So when you hear successful business owners and thought leaders talking about abundance mindset, what I find is that they make it sound like flipping this switch from scarcity to abundance is really, really easy. So a message that I see a lot is, you know, the one simple thing you didn't know you were missing. And oh, when I discovered abundance mindset, everything in life started to come so easily to me. And I see this a lot. And for those of us who are feeling scarce right now, and we'll talk about how that is actually normal in a minute, we feel kind of guilty about that because there's so much chatter around how we should feel instead, how we should feel abundant. And yes, we are all striving for abundance, and it is possible to step into the abundance that we really already are, because the underpinning of nature is to be abundant. Life always finds a way. However, the assumption that we should always feel abundant does not honor the cyclical nature of life. Now, from a quantum physics perspective, there's lots of talk around abundance being the kind of natural static state of the universe. And from a physics perspective, there is some truth to that. And I do believe that, you know, there is a divine abundant flow that we can tap into at any time. However, we live on the earth right now. And the earth is not linear. It is not static. It is cyclical and it is seasonal. So on this earth, we have seasons of abundance and we have seasons of scarcity. That is the essence of summer versus winter. We can't always be in summer because that's not natural. Our earth is always turning and moving around the sun. And sometimes, even when we're in summer in this place of high abundance, something can happen that plunges us into scarcity. So think about a farmer with a field who gets an infestation of pests or a summer hailstorm that just comes in and destroys our crop. I saw this happen in Austin just a few months ago when we had our epic freeze and snowstorm. It basically wiped out everything in the field where we get our community-supported agriculture box. The field was barren. This happens in nature. It should have been a time of abundance and growth, but sometimes shit happens. And it happens in our lives, even though as modern humans, we tend to like to think that we've evolved past nature and the seasons and the earth's rhythms, but guess what? We haven't. And when we forget that, Mother Nature tends to make sure we know it. She wants to reconnect us. So what we're going to talk about today is what abundance is, what it means to you, because it's more than just money, and how you can approach it in your business and life, even when you're feeling scarce. And we'll talk about scarcity leaks that might be allowing abundance to slip away from you, and talk about steps to actually practice what it feels like to be abundant, even during a winter season. And this is really, really important, because while we might not be in a full flow of abundance all the time, it doesn't mean we can't practice what abundance looks and feels like for us, because this will actually help heal whatever put us into a scarcity state to begin with. And we'll talk through some steps here, because yes, there are wounds that we can heal, and you'll hear lots of chatter about this if you've followed folks who talk about abundance mindset. There are lots of core wounds that we can heal from childhood that will bring us into this state of abundance once we find that healing and that wholeness. But I don't want you to ignore the fact that life throws things at us sometimes that will put us into a place of scarcity. Because I feel like when we don't honor this, we do ourselves a tremendous disservice, because we hold ourselves to the standard that we should always be abundant and always perfect. You know, it's like a woman who looks at societal standards for beauty, a 60-year-old woman, and assumes that she's not beautiful because what we value most highly in society is the summer. It's the spring and the summer, which is, you know, this younger woman with the perfect tight body, not, you know, a mother who's had a couple of kids and isn't in her maiden form. She's still beautiful in her state, but we have to honor the changing season because there's beauty and value in all of it. And it doesn't mean that you're not abundant, even if you are in winter right now. So to make this a little bit more tangible, before we go into the steps and the actual training around abundance, I want to tell you a story about the Uncorporate. Because, and you may have heard me tell this before, but when I started the Uncorporate, it was back in early 2020, and I was in a tremendous season of abundance, like a high summer when the crops are, you know, fully formed in the fields and we're almost at harvest. And I was still working my corporate tech job, and I was killing it. I was making great money. I was winning awards. People loved working with me. My body was healthy. I was really strong and fit. I was close with my friends. My family was in a great place. And I had a lot of security despite the fact that COVID had just started and was sweeping through the world. And when I started the business, I made about $14,000 in my first 30 days. And to be honest, it was easy. That abundance just flowed in, and I wasn't even working like crazy. I was employed full time. I was doing the Uncorporate in my spare time. And my son was at home because schools were closed. And I was still going to bed at 9 o'clock every night, falling asleep beautifully. It was great. And then in the middle of that high summer, I got pregnant. And, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise, but when I look back, I was in such a state of abundance. It makes perfect sense because I was in a place of ease and creation and fertility. But what did come as a surprise was how hard my first trimester was. And then I lost my daughter around 17 weeks into the pregnancy. And that was the hailstorm that destroyed my field. And all the abundance that was flowing through me, I was in this divine flow, was suddenly ripped away. It was blocked because I felt empty inside, physically and emotionally. And what moved into that empty space was depression and vulnerability and trauma. And I felt so, so scarce. inside. I literally physically had life that left my body. But then emotionally, all these feelings of confidence and empowerment also went away. And creating from this place was not natural for me. It didn't flow. And ultimately, that's why I decided to take a sabbatical, because rather than trying to force abundance from a place of scarcity, which just isn't possible, I had to heal my inner wounds before I could step back into that abundant flow. So it's just like the field after the hailstorm. You can't plant right away. There's work to do. You have to clear the debris and lovingly care for the damage that's left and then refertilize. And then you can replant. And even once you do, it takes time for those crops to grow and bear fruit. And this is natural. This is how the earth works. So let's talk about what abundance looks like for you so that you can step into claiming what you desire. Because even having gone through this experience, I can say abundance is always available to you. Absolutely. You know, from a quantum physics perspective, this flow of the universe, this energy is always there and you can always claim it. But remember, we live in the material plane on this earth that is cyclical. So we have to reconcile the two and we have to honor the physical space that we live in and how that translates for us on an emotional level as well. Because I think that this is a really important piece of the puzzle that is easy to leave out because it's not sexy. Everybody wants a 30-day fix to, you know, $100,000 in your business. Just fix your abundance mindset and it'll come to you. But there are so many more layers than that. And again, life is cyclical, the earth is cyclical, and we have to honor that because when we struggle against it, we really just end up feeling a lot of guilt rather than giving ourselves permission to lean into what can be a much more natural process. And again, we're going to talk about how to practice all of this. So I'm going to give you a metaphor for abundance. I want you to imagine it as a river. So the river is always flowing, right? Well, it is, unless something gets in the way, like silt or rocks. And even though the flow is still there, there are also periods of high tide and low tide because, again, the earth cycles. The position of the moon changes. It impacts the high tide and the low tide on a daily basis, but also on a yearly basis. So if you know anything about the ancient Egyptian agrarian ecosystem, their economy, it was all based around the Nile. So every spring, the Nile overflows its banks and it leaves this very thick layer of silt, this very nutrient-rich silt on the fields in the spring. And they could usually predict how much abundance, how much harvest was going to occur based on how high the level of the Nile was, because the higher the Nile was, the more square footage of fields it would cover. And then the Nile would recede in the winter and the farmers could plant on the fields. And in years of scarcity, the Nile simply wouldn't overflow the banks as much, which basically meant there was less fertile soil to plant in. So this is natural. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Take a deep breath first. Drop into your body and ask yourself, today, are you in the flow of high tide or low tide? Is your river overflowing its banks or is it more of a trickle today or in this season? And there's no wrong answer here. There's simply where you are today. And then take a look at that river. Are there rocks in your river? Are there rocks that are blocking that flow of abundance? And let's get real here. There's nothing you can do about the season because that's nature. That's not you. It's going to happen no matter how abundant you feel inside. You can, however, do two things. First, you can remove the rocks from your river. And these are what I call scarcity leaks because these are going to get in the way even during high tide. So these are things like money wounds that come from childhood. Doesn't matter whether you are in a high summer, if you're doing all the things to feel abundant, if that wound is still there, if it's still within you, it's going to block your flow of abundance. But there are also things that you can't change, like what happened to me when I lost my daughter. That's a winter season. And during that season, The second thing you can do is to practice your desired state. Just because you aren't in summer doesn't mean you can't train your mind to operate as if it's in summer. Because then when you get to that season, the abundance will flow readily and in great quantities. So we're going to talk about the scarcity leaks first, because those impact you regardless of what season you're in. But first, let's talk about what abundance looks like for you. Because contrary to popular belief, abundance is not just money, though it certainly can be and should be to some degree for you. So the first step in this process is to figure out what abundance means for you. And you can close your eyes and do a little visualization exercise here. Visualize an abundant life. What does this look like and feel like for you? Emphasis on the feel. This is essentially figuring out what's in your river. What does your river look like? And I don't want you to use numbers here. If you're an entrepreneur, you know, I don't want you to think about, oh, well, I'd be making $30,000 a month. That's fine, and we can do that later on, but I want you to focus more on the feelings, the experience of your senses. So when I close my eyes and visualize abundance, I imagine time. This feeling of time and spaciousness, especially with my son, where I am so present with him. And I imagine beauty, rich beauty, fertile beauty. So something like a deep evergreen mountain forest or a vibrant tropical beach sunset. I imagine the people that are around me. So my team, the people who support me day to day. And I imagine laying back like that trust exercise where you jump, you fall back, and everyone catches you with their hands. I imagine those hands holding me. And I experience this feeling of divine flow that's always moving. It's like a momentum and this sense that I'm part of something that's bigger than myself. So this is what comes to mind when I feel into abundance. And as you'll see, money actually wasn't on the list. However, to be part of something bigger than myself, to have that abundant time, money is naturally a foundation to that. Because to have big impact in the world, to create great shift, we should generate abundant financial flow because it enables all of these things. Money isn't innately bad, and we'll talk about that more in the second step. So yes, absolutely, money mindset is important. But when we think about the bigger picture of abundance, what does that look like in fuller form? So if you haven't already, pull out a journal and a pen and pause this and take some notes. Do this exercise on what abundance means for you. And you'll see why in the next step, because the second step is actually to look at where are your scarcity leaks. So now that you know what your river is actually made out of, let's find the rocks. And the reason that we want to get really clear on what abundance means is that it's going to change what types of leaks we look for. And they're not just going to be scarcity leaks that are around money. So the rocks in your river, these scarcity leaks, are basically the things that are holding you back from living in abundance and from receiving abundance in your life, because those are two different things. There's being abundant ourselves and being in that divine flow, but then there's actually allowing ourselves to receive as well. And those are different sets of blocks. So some scarcity leaks might look like specific wounds around money. So you might have grown up with the perception that, gosh, money makes people do bad things. So I don't want it because it's going to make me a bad person. Or maybe I don't deserve money. I'm not good enough to receive it. I know for me, one of my wounds around money that I'm still exploring is guilt. And I think that that's related to feelings of worth. Like there's almost too much abundance, that I don't deserve this level of abundance because I didn't work hard enough for it, even though I'm working hard all the time. It might be fears of scarcity. If I don't have money, I won't be safe. And when that's a rock in our river, every decision we make is like a grasping decision rather than a relaxing and an opening that allows us to receive. And that's where abundance wants to naturally flow. We can't chase it. We really have to let it come to us. And when we think about these fears of safety, well, this can start to connect to your limbic system, your lizard brain, and dysfunction there. And I've had a lot of experience this myself, because if you are living in a trauma state, a state of fight or flight, you literally cannot receive abundance. And this is what happened to me after I lost my daughter, because that experience both physically and emotionally put me in this state of fight or flight. And here's what happens. Fight or flight basically evolved to serve us when we were animals, when we lived on the savannah, and at any moment we could be chased by a predator. So imagine that you're running from a tiger. You can't take anything with you. You have to run for your life. So while some of the abundance work that we have to do is around mindset, some of it is actually at the nervous system level. And then some of it is at the energetic level. So there are many layers here. And ultimately, if you feel safe, you open to abundance. And if you train yourself to feel worthy, you'll actually allow yourself to receive. So when it comes to identifying your unique set of scarcity leaks, I'll give you some inquiries here, and I would write these down in your journal. Don't try to journal on all of these at once. This is going to take time. Honestly, I could do a whole program around this rather than just a mini training. So if you are going to work through all these inquiries, I would do it over a period of, at least 30 days. And I probably will do a program around this at some point. Because these are weighty and you need to spend time with them and also give yourself space in between doing this work. But some of the inquiries are, when I look at my life, where do I resist or decline support? Where in my life could I allow myself to receive more? How do I feel about receiving? Do I feel guilty? What emotions come up? Does money feel safe for me? In what ways do I feel worthy? In what ways do I feel unworthy? And the goal here is to start getting into some of the core beliefs and wounds that are holding you back from abundance, from that place of safety and worth. Now, if you find that in working with this, fear is coming up for you a lot, or trauma, some easy ways to start cooling that down a little bit is to, I work with crystals. And a year ago, if you had told me to go work with a crystal, I would have been like, really? Would that really work? It's funny because I've actually collected them my whole life. And it's not until the last year that I started to work with them energetically. And I find that for me, they create a lot of tremendous shift. So my favorite crystal to work with around fear and safety is hematite. Just like a plain little chunk of hematite. It has a lot of iron in it, which is very grounding. It kind of pulls energy down towards that root chakra. And if I am in a fight or flight state, I'll actually sleep with a piece of hematite towards the bottom of my bed to kind of pull that energy flow down. Another easy way to do this is just to spend time in nature without your shoes on. Just allow yourself to ground and kind of open up to the abundance while rooting down and letting the Great Mother hold you. And this kind of helps promote that healing on a cellular level and getting out of fight or flight. And we'll talk about this more because there's a lot that you can do on a neurological level as well. We'll talk about the brain science behind it when we get to, I think it's step 4. So once you've identified your scarcity leaks, there's release work that we have to do. So the third step is to release any blocks around abundance and actually heal the wounds that are left by that scarcity. Because our assumption here is that you are already limitless abundance. This is actually your baseline state. But over time, whether it's from conditioned beliefs, from childhood or society, traumatic experiences, or really any instance where we abdicate our control or have control taken away from us, we unintentionally block ourselves from that flow of abundance. So if you think about yourself as a Ferrari, you have this fabulous engine that's meant to go at these high speeds. And you've always been that Ferrari. But if your engine gets gummed up, you cannot go at high speeds. The car will break. So before you can drive the way you're meant to be driven, you have to clean out the engine. So you've always had access to your raw power, but you have to take care of your machine. You have to tune it up to its desired state. So in other words, you have to stop dropping rocks in your river to let the water flow. And the reality is that, every car has to be serviced every year. So when it comes to our abundance mindset and our money mindset, this isn't just something that you can do once. It's actually a practice that you'll have to carry with you through your whole life. It's kind of like yoga. It's great to do a 12-week intensive, but there's a reason we call it a yoga practice. It's because it becomes part of your daily life. And if you stop practicing, your engine gets gummed up again and the rocks will start blocking the river. So before you can feel abundant, you have to release the rocks and then you have to heal the wounds that are left over. Because if you can imagine a rock that's in a riverbank and you pull it out, well, what does it leave? It leaves a hole, it leaves a scar. And over time, that will get smoothed over and the river will reroute itself. But it has to be healed. Like those blocks leave an impression on you. So when you take a look at the list of scarcity leaks, of those blocks and wounds, gosh, there's so much work that we could do about this. We could do a program literally just on the release and the healing part. But some options for you to work with today are, I'll give you options on the mind, body, and heart level. So if we're going to look at the mind, the mental, neurological level, absolutely check out Byron Katie's The Work. Just Google The Work, Byron Katie. It's a really simple set of four or five questions that essentially asks you, well, is this thing true? Do I know this for sure? If it wasn't true, who would I be? And what state do I choose instead? So this is a nice way to kind of reroute the neural pathway and start rewiring the pattern. And we'll talk about that more in the next step where we get into really practicing the abundance. But if you're more logical, this may work really, really well for you. I know that my husband, he has a very logical, mathematical mind. He's a software engineer, and these types of questions work really, really well for him. I am more of a kinesthetic intuitive, so I feel things in my body. So the second option I'll give you is more of a body-based energetic healing method. And this is really just doing a body scan and trying to locate where the block or the wound is stored in your body. And I did a deeper visualization of this on the last episode around making resistance work for you. So if you want to hear more of a guided meditation, go ahead and listen to that episode. But in short, find the block in your body, meet the energy, and talk to it about what memories it brings up. And then once you start to have some memories and emotions that are coming to your mind, send that block some healing and just be curious about what it wants you to know, because usually there's information there from your subconscious, from your energy field that is available to you if you take the time to inquiry with it. And just realize that, you might have some emotions that come out when this happens. And that's really the case anytime we experience an energetic release, particularly around a block, or if we get into healing a wound. So the last option I'll give you is around emotions. So if you look at this list of scarcity blocks, you might start to feel a little bit angry. If your wounds are related to trauma or grief, you might feel that grief pretty keenly. You might feel frustrated. Like if you have a really long list of blocks, and most of us do, there might be just some simple frustration that comes up. Like, wow, how did I end up so wounded? How did I end up with so many rocks in my river? Well, it's okay. It's not your fault. Chances are nobody ever told you you should remove the rocks. You didn't even know you had rocks. You thought you were just a river. And that's okay, because you're starting to do the work now. So, some tools for releasing these emotions are, I love Osho Dynamic Meditation. It's a really nice way to release anger. But if you have access to nature, another technique that I learned from one of my longtime mentors, Christine Arilo, this is more of an earth wisdom-based practice, is to find a dead tree, a tree that's totally dead, decaying. There's no life there. And connect to that tree as the block. as the wound, as the thing that is holding you back that you just want to release. And then destroy it. Let those emotions out. Kick it, punch it, destroy it. It's a physical act of release and destruction so that you can open up to the new. And I've done this. It's great. I'm probably going to be hosting a retreat in 2022 at my family's ranch in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is about 45 minutes outside of Austin. I am so very excited to welcome a group of people there because we're actually building a little bit of a wellness center out there. And it's on 200 acres of nature. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of dead trees out there. So when I host that retreat, we will definitely be doing this exercise because we have access to the trees. So I'll just seed that with those of you who feel called. Okay, let's get into step four, which is probably the essence of this whole training, this whole episode, which is practicing abundance. And this is essentially how we reroute the river. Because we can do this whether we are in a season of summer or a season of winter. I apologize, I'm getting text messages through my computer and I still haven't figured out how to turn off these sounds. But the idea here is that once you remove the rocks from your river, once you release those scarcity leaks, the river's gonna flow differently and it might have to carve a new path. And it will, but this takes time. So while we wait out the winter, while we honor the fact that we're not yet in this season of abundance, though we will be, we get to practice. And we do this using visualization, kind of like what we did earlier, and powerful emotions. And I cannot emphasize the emotional piece enough because this is what creates neuroplasticity in the brain. Now, what is neuroplasticity? This is essentially our brain's ability to create new neurons, or not necessarily new neurons, but new connections between the neurons. If you've been following me for a while, I'm so sorry about all these pings. You'll know that I am fascinated with brain science. I've been studying this ever since I was in college just for fun. And what's amazing about the brain is how much it changes even when we're adults, even when we're elders, really. But it changes when we change things around it. So to set the stage for practicing abundance, you want to start changing a lot of very simple things in your environment. So that might be everything from if you take a walk around your neighborhood, walk the opposite direction, walk on the other side of the street. You'll be surprised by how uncomfortable this makes you because it's forcing your brain to stop walking the neural pathway that it likes to walk, but instead to create a new one. And the more things that you can shift, the more neuroplastic your neural environment becomes. The easier it is to create new neuronal connections because your brain starts to realize, oh, this is what we're doing right now. Kids do this all the time because they're constantly learning new things, but when we become adults, we tend to get more set in our ways. We don't change our patterns as much. Now, emotion is the most powerful way to create new neuronal connections. And it's why our strongest memories tend to be either traumas or euphoric experiences. So the first time you held your child or falling down and breaking a bone. As a kid, you probably have pretty clear memories of those things. And it's because your brain takes a crisper picture when it's in a heightened emotional state, because usually those emotional states have something to do with survival. So if we go back to talking about the limbic system or the lizard brain, the stronger the emotions, the more your brain says, oh, I've got to pay attention to this. So it's actually the best way to make your brain neuroplastic. So yes, we want to change lots of little things to kind of prime our ability to rewire, but we also want to leverage emotion as a tool to create these patterns faster. So when it comes to practicing abundance using visualization, what I want you to do is pick a scene in the future, say 6 months from now. And in your mind's eye, I want you to visualize what your abundant life looks like. So this might look a lot like the visualization you did early, except this time I want you to get highly specific. So this scene should include something that absolutely delights you, that you desire deeply, but it should be something that is either challenging or totally impossible for you today. So if you're an entrepreneur and you're just starting your business, you might visualize yourself speaking at a conference, or doing a TED talk to an audience that is like standing up and clapping for you because you've said something so inspiring. And I want you to visualize every little detail of this scene and describe it out loud using your words, from what you're wearing to how you feel in your body to what you'll be able to do in this scene. And I want you to get emotional. Really feel the emotions and try to give yourself the warm fuzzies while you're visualizing, because remember, emotion is key. So we don't want to just write something down that's bland. And when I've seen other money mindset coaches work through this, this is the piece that they're generally missing. Anybody can say an affirmation, anybody can do a visualization or read through something that you've written that's what you desire in the future. But the problem is, once you've read it a few times, the brain stops taking that snapshot, and it's because it becomes unemotional. So maybe the first time you write down that future vision, you do feel emotional about it because it's new. But if you want your brain to keep practicing and creating these new connections and flooding your body with these powerful neurotransmitters, the serotonins, the dopamines, the things that make you feel really good, that makes your brain want to do that thing again, you have to really get into the depth of emotion. And sometimes this means you have to change the scene that you visualize, because once you've done this exercise about 7 times in a row using the same visualization, it starts to lose some of its glow. So I would shift the scene at that point. And that's okay, because as you discovered at the beginning of this training, abundance means a lot of different things from you. It doesn't just mean money or success in business. It might mean a beautiful scene with your kids or with your friends where you have this abundance of time and this sense of spaciousness and relaxation because you know that you're safe and secure. So this is how we practice abundance even when life feels scarce. And this is so important, because when we are living in a state of scarcity, we tend to feel unsafe. We tend to feel sad. And that creates a very different set of hormones and neurotransmitters in our body than abundance does. That's where the cortisol and the adrenaline comes from. These are the stress hormones. And when we're living in a state of scarcity, when life feels scarce, that stuff is running through our body all the time. And guess what? Our body thinks we're running from a tiger, and can we access abundance when we're running from the tiger? No, we can't. Your body is never going to let you do that, even though it's accessible to you. To access the abundance, you need to tell your body and your mind that you are in a parasympathetic state, which is the rest and digest state. It's what ideally happens when we sit down for a meal and when we sleep at night. And if you're not sleeping well, sometimes it's because your body is still in sympathetic, which is that stress response, and it needs to be in that calm or parasympathetic state. So access the emotions and practice. The brain loves repetition. This is why when kids are learning to read or learning to walk, they'll do the same thing over and over and over again. And each time they get a little bit better until one day they're walking and they don't even have to think about it. This is what accessing abundance will feel like for you. And remember, if we stop practicing this, doesn't matter how much abundance is in your life, you have to keep practicing. It's like someone who becomes an athlete who becomes bedridden after an injury. If they don't do their physical therapy, they won't walk again. And even once they start walking, they have to keep doing it. Otherwise, those pathways, what the body knows how to do, will fade. So, the last thing I want you to remember is that it takes time to rewire the brain and to shift your energy field. So, as you begin to dig into this abundance work, and even if you've been doing this for a while, but this training has offered a new lens for you, remember, it's going to take you at least 30 days to experience significant shift, but really, it's probably more like 3 to 6 months. So I just want to set that expectation with you now because it's really tempting for us to want a quick fix. But when it comes to shifts and skills that are gained through practice, like yoga, it's never going to happen in a month of classes. If you are brand new to yoga and you want to effortlessly lift your legs into a shoulder stand, it's probably not going to happen in that first month. It's going to take consistent practice. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should feel no guilt going into that yoga class 2 months in if you're still unable to do that asana, that posture. That's okay. Honor that in yourself and keep practicing because eventually you will get there. And the beauty of practicing this during winter is that it will heal the wounds that have put you into scarcity if you're there because of a wound. And if you're not, if you're simply there because it's the natural ebb and the ebb and flow of life or business, you will be ready to go once the season shifts, and it will make it that much easier for you to access that abundance. So this is why we practice. Because once you've done this, the last part of this process is simply to allow yourself to receive. Because truly, you are limitless abundance, and there is limitless abundance that is available to you. And it's so easy to receive it once you remove these blocks. But if you're not used to receiving, the best way to approach this is just to start small through micro actions, those 1% shifts that over time change your life dramatically. So maybe it's outsourcing dinner prep, like one night a week. Let yourself receive just a little bit of help. Maybe it's hiring a babysitter for some space or asking a friend for some help if you don't have the funds to invest in receiving. These are the micro actions, the 1% shifts that over time add up to a lot of abundance. Because remember, one of those scarcity leaks is feelings of unworthiness, or resistance to receiving. So it doesn't matter if you've done all the healing work and all the practice, if at the end of the day you don't actually allow yourself, to let that abundance come through. So remember, you are worthy of receiving. There is so much abundance for you to receive, and it is accessible to you whenever you are ready. So let's recap quickly because I know that this was a little bit of a long training. And so if you have your journal, you might just want to write this down. First and foremost, if you're feeling scarce right now, just honor that. Allow yourself to feel that way because life happens and life is cyclical. We are not always in summer. So just acknowledge it for what it is and know that it's going to pass. And the most important thing to tune into during this time is what abundance means for you. Because it's probably not just money. And when you get a handle on what abundance truly means in essence for you, it makes all of the steps after this so much easier. So the second step is just to discover, get really curious about what is blocking you, those scarcity leaks. Where are you actively preventing yourself from receiving? What wounds need to be healed? This is identifying the rocks that are in your river. Then you can release the rocks. So do the work to release what's in the mind, the body, and in the emotions. Whether you're going to do the body scan and connecting with that energy, whether you want to check out Byron Katie's The Work if you have more of a logical mind, or if you really have some emotions to release and you want to go destroy a dead tree, do the release work because until you do, you can't heal and rewire. Because we can't practice the abundant visualization of what we desire our future to be if we are still stuck in the rocks. So, to practice abundance when life is feeling scarce, you want to use emotion. Emotion's your best friend from here on out. It's what's going to support your brain to change in all the ways that you want it to change. So, it's really emotion and practice. And remember, this will take time. The river will carve out a new path, but it doesn't happen overnight. And then simply allow yourself to receive. Okay? This is so powerful. There's power in acknowledging and honoring that life does not always feel abundant, and that if it doesn't, it's not your fault. It's okay. I know this might be contrary to what you've heard before, but it's okay. There's no place for guilt here. Sometimes the season simply shifts to winter, and that's okay. Sometimes there's a hailstorm in life that comes out of nowhere and destroys our abundant fields. And while I'm not going to say that's okay, sometimes it's just not in our control. Sometimes we are simply left feeling scarce. Honor that. It's not your fault. And you do have agency. The shift may not happen overnight, but it's there and it's potent. So this is why we practice abundance even when life feels scarce. It's a tool for healing, and it's a tool for manifesting what we desire to be true in our lives once we heal, once that season shifts, because it is absolutely possible and it is absolutely within your control. So my loves, I hope this has been helpful for you today. I know that with everything I've been through in the past year, this practice has become extremely powerful and extremely potent for me. And I've seen massive shifts around this, even after just a few weeks of engaging. So I promise you, it is possible and this is accessible to you. So if this has been meaningful for you, if you are feeling inspired, or you just want to thank me for taking the time to share, take a screenshot of this podcast and tag me on Instagram at uncorporette. I would love to hear from you. There's really nothing that makes me happier than hearing that I have given you some value, some support, some emotional love. If a shift has happened in your life, please, please, please go ahead and share. And then leave a review for the podcast, because this is still a new podcast. And the more reviews I have, the more people can find this. And my mission is to help as many people as possible step into their power, heal the wounds that are holding them back, and access that limitless abundance that I know is available to all of you, because you are sacred. You are meant for more. You are meant to live a life that is holistically fulfilling and sustainable for you. And you're meant to do it as the unique, badass sovereign that you are, that is in there, even if you don't feel like he or she is. I promise you, your sovereign is there. And I see that in you. So my love, reach out to me anytime, rachel@uncorporette.com. Tag me on Instagram, leave a review for the podcast. And if there's something that you'd like me to explore here, feel free to send me a question or a topic idea. I love to hear from you. And one of my superpowers is simply responding to what the people I serve desire. So let me know, because you're one of them. And what you desire is what I desire. So I'm sending you so much love and so many blessings. And I will talk to you soon. Goodbye, my friend. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you, and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love. So thanks for being here.